Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, now my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again this morning as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, Father, this morning, and to be with the speaker. And Father, we know that we need guidance. We need help with the truth and the depth of your word. And we ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Well, Father, be with us now throughout the remainder of the service this morning. And we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, before I call my speaker up here this morning, I want to share with the church a little bit about this ministry. You know, though we speak here at the church, we're reaching around the world everywhere the internet goes. You know, we don't ask for money. No one in this ministry is paid. This is all done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does come in, we use to help others that are in need, and to help a few places. So I wanted to bring you up to date. And if you would like to be a part of this ministry and work with us, and you want to send a donation, you can send it to Pastor K.D. Toney, T-O-N-E-Y, 505 Newton Road, Guston, Kentucky, 40142. You can find me on Facebook. And once again, you can get the information there. Because we can use your help in reaching others, reaching out and being a help to those that are in need. Right now, This ministry is giving a donation to Jewish Voice Ministries to help Jewish people, their seniors, and survivors of the Holocaust. And they are in need. I donate $50 every month to them. Also, this ministry donates $50 a month to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And we donate $50 a month to WJCR Food Pantry. And this past week, I picked up one more. We are donating $30 a month to what they call Reservation Aid to the American Indian to help those on the reservation that are in need. And there's a lot of them there, right here in our own country, that is in great need. They're hurting badly. Plus then, our expense of the church and the expense of broadcasting over the internet. And right now, we stand with our bank account at $8,000. Now, there are others we help besides those that I named that just come in locally that is in need of help. So as you can imagine, the bank account won't last long. But that's what we do with what comes in here. So if you'd like to be a part of us and work with us, knowing what we do, once again, if you've got some way to take it down, you can send the donation to Pastor K.D. Tony, 505 Newton Road, Guston, G-U-S-T-O-N, Kentucky, 40142. And it would be greatly appreciated because we could help more people. So now we're going to get Brother Dennis up here and see what the Lord our God has laid upon his heart for this morning.
Good morning, everyone. First, before we even get started, I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day because every one of us has a mother. So make sure you should do it on a regular basis, but make sure you let her know you love her. With that being said, I initially was going to talk about the Ten Commandments, honoring your mother and your father, and how that particular command is one of the only ones that can actually prolong your life. But I remembered that the pastor wanted to keep it in the New Testament on Sunday mornings, so that's what we're going to do. I didn't necessarily have anything prepared. Been a busy week for me, and the devil's been all over me all week, so we're just going to take it and see where we go. But before I get into the scriptures, because we are in the end times, or at least I personally believe we're in the end times, and in fact, me personally, if the first seal hadn't been broken, I'm really sure that it's the only thing that's keeping it from being broken is the Father handing it to the Son so he can break that first seal. I think we're honestly that close. Just some items that I've read over the news over the last couple of days. There's a member of Parliament in, I think it was Denmark, that was just arrested and is facing 30 years in prison for posting Romans 1. I don't think it was Facebook, but it was on their little social media thing that they got over there for posting Romans 1. There's a pastor in England that just went to jail for speaking the word of God because he did not agree with homosexual marriage. He was just put in prison. There was a pastor in Canada that just got a $50,000 fine for not closing his church. I mean, we are under attack left and right. And those are just a very couple of isolated incidents. You got people right now in China, which is one of the biggest growing places for Christianity at the moment, people in China that are being killed. They're being put in prison. You got Pakistan. In fact, pastor is sponsoring another pastor in Pakistan right now, and he's having to run for his life because of that. You've got churches being burnt down in Europe, whether it be in France or Italy or Germany, all over Europe as a whole, being burnt down up to 3 a week. 3 churches a week are being burnt to the ground because they're trying to spread the word. Now, one thing you should know, and I'm not, a lot of those churches over there are fallen churches, so I'm just throwing that out there as well, but they're still out there. They're still churches and still believe in Jesus Christ, and they are being torched. So Christianity is under attack everywhere. All right. So with that being said, let's go to, and trust me, if we're going to be in the New Testament, we're going to start off in Isaiah chapter 40. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to read one little section of it, and then we'll move on because it's all going to come together for you here in a minute. Comfort ye, my people, saith God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of God, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now there's one little verse in there, verse 3 in there, that probably everybody has heard before because it's talking about John the Baptist. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway of God. That is ultimately what I want to talk about. In the Bible, first of all, let me say this, okay? The Bible, I don't want to say it's encrypted, but it truly is. It's encrypted. It was written by the Spirit, and only the Spirit can understand, get the full meaning out of what's literally written in the Bible. That's why you can have an atheist or somebody that's not a Christian read the Bible, and then say, well, it contradicts this, and it contradicts this, and it does this, and it does that. All they're doing is seeing words. They're not seeing the meaning of the words. They don't understand what's going on. They have absolutely zero clue. The Bible tells you point blank that they have eyes to see. They have eyes yet can't see, and they have ears and yet can't hear. They don't understand. You have to, before you read the Bible, you need to pray that the Holy Spirit will open the Word up for you so you'll understand what's going on in the Word, okay? And then you need to study the Bible, not just read it, but study it, because every single word in this book means something, every single solitary word. All right, with that being said, you know from other teachings that both I and the pastor's given us, and even Kenny, I've heard him do the same thing. There's always, in the Old Testament, is a shadow of things to come in the New Testament. So everything that's there is talking, everything that's in the Old Testament is ultimately talking about the New Testament. And while a lot of people think, and it is, don't get me wrong, but it's also a foreshadow of something else. Whenever they read that, they think they're talking about John the Baptist, which it is. But it's also talking about something else, because if you actually pay attention to what it's talking about, it's talking about the wrath of God there. Every valley shall be exalted, which means raised up. Every mountain shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of God shall be revealed. We know what that is. All flesh shall see together. That's the coming of Christ, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, something else to think about, what this voice in the desert can mean and should mean to you and I, is they're talking about the church. That's what we should be doing. We should be that voice in the desert. We should be the one out there crying, paving the way, straightening the road, making the pathway clear for whenever Christ comes back on his second tour here. In order for us to do that, we got to know what the Word of God actually says. We can't take the word of some pastor. We can't take the word of somebody else out there. We can't take the word of anybody. We need to know what the book actually says. If you go to church, or you listen to it on the radio, or you listen to it on the internet, or whatever your means of spiritual growth is, and you just listen to somebody, but you don't have the book in your hand reading along with them, you don't know if they're feeding you a line of crap or not. And trust me, there's a lot of them out there doing just that very thing, which moves us on to our next point. So just keep that in mind. Our purpose as pastors is to help you and to lead you. We are not here to save you. That is on you. That's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? We show you the way, help you understand the word, and so you understand what you're supposed to do, guide you through the scriptures, help you understand the scriptures better. But in a grand scheme of things, Christ knocks on the door. It's not a pastor. You have to open that door up to Christ, and you have to let him in. So now let's turn to Luke. I'll give you a second to get there. Luke 21, and we're going to start with verse 7. Luke 21, verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And before I read any more, let me explain something to you just real quick. I chose Luke. This very same thing is in Matthew. Okay? It's in Matthew 23. But I know for a fact the pastor has explained to you who Luke is. He was a Gentile. It's the only Well, Luke and Acts was the only two books he wrote, possibly Hebrews. Nobody actually knows who wrote Hebrews, but Luke was a Gentile. He was a doctor. The book of Luke is written by a Gentile for a Gentile, which is you and I. So that's ultimately why I chose this, because he's speaking not from a Jewish perspective, but he's speaking it from a Gentile perspective. Matthew was a Jew, and Matthew was written to the Jews, so it's written more in a Jewish perspective. And you have to understand that, you know, we're 2,000 years removed from all this stuff. A lot of the traditions and the things that the Jewish people took for granted, knew what meant, we today don't necessarily understand all the different traditions and stuff like that. That's why Luke is a little bit better, particularly for a new person picking up the Bible. Luke is the place to start because he is a Gentile. He speaks from that perspective. Okay. And he said, and this is Christ talking, take heed, you be not deceived. Remember that because we're coming back to it. Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Stop right there. Another thing that a lot of people don't realize is the Bible, or whenever Luke wrote this and whenever Matthew wrote it, there was no such thing as punctuation marks. Okay? So this could have two different meanings. And in fact, I honestly think it does have two different meanings. It could mean that me as a pastor, I'm up here preaching to you in God's name or Christ's name, or it could be saying that I am calling myself Christ, okay, which I'm not, by the way. So you could have two different meanings on that. And right now, because we're talking about people being deceived, we see it all the time where you got people standing behind the pulpit using and claiming the name of Christ, spreading their lies. So we know for a fact, because we're seeing it today, right now, that first meaning is definitely in effect. Okay? Could the next one take effect whenever the Antichrist comes on the scene? Very possibly so. But for sure, there are a lot of people standing behind the pulpit claiming to be speaking for Christ, okay? And we know, you know, I can't remember exactly where it is, but I think it was I think it was in Isaiah as well, that the false prophets and Christ or God said, no, I didn't send them, they're lying to you, and all that stuff, so. All right. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. So I was telling you, don't follow all these people. Just because they say that they're telling you the word of God don't necessarily mean that they are. That's why I adamantly and repeatedly say you need to read the Bible for yourself. You need to pray before you get into it. You need to understand what you're reading. Because, again, the Spirit is what's going to open it up for you. It's going to be like that encryption key. It's going to unlock it for you so you can understand exactly what you're reading. Verse 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation will rise against nation. Let's stop right there. This was written in Greek, okay? The Greek word that they used as nation was ethnos, okay? Which means ethnicity. In other words, race. We see right now, and it's not just in the U.S., it's going on all over the world, where there are basically full-fledged race wars going on. And I'm afraid they're going to get a lot worse before they get any better. But that's the devil stirring that pot, acting like the agitator inside of a washing machine. He's stirring that pot up right now, trying to get different races to fuss and fight with each other. when we all need to come together and praise Christ together. Okay? But that's what he's talking about when it says nation against nation. It's not talking about a country. That's where kingdom against kingdom comes in. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence. Well, we're seeing the pestilence now, so to speak, with this so-called pandemic. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things shall, before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Those are the things that I was just mentioning to you just a second ago, where all these people are being jailed and killed for Christ. And it shall turn, to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So don't, I'm going to stop right there for a second. A lot of people, getting back to this deception, a lot of people, particularly in this country, a lot of people, matter of fact, the vast majority of people honestly believe they will not be here whenever the tribulation period starts. Okay? That is part of that deception. Okay? Hey, I've never seen not one word in the Bible that says you won't be here. I've seen many words in the Bible telling you how to prepare for what's going to happen. I've seen many places in the Bible telling me that there's going to be signs and great wonders. I've seen many places in the Bible that says Christ is going to come on the clouds and every eye shall see. But that don't sound like a secret rapture to me. So, and if you want to believe in a secret rapture, by all means do so. But if you're not preparing yourself for all the bad things that's going to happen, then you're going to fall. If you fall for the one, you're going to fall for the other. And this time, whenever you fall, you can fall flat on your face and wind up in a lake of fire. So what's more important to you? Being prepared? Or just thinking, I'm not going to be here and going about your business, and don't worry about spreading the word and getting other people out there to turn to Christ, because that's what I was getting at with the statement about John the Baptist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And we know what that death is going to be. It's going to be cutting your throat. It's going to be chopping your head off in a guillotine. It says that you will be put to death by beheading. And I just want to add something else to this real quick. You've seen how the Muslims have been killing Christians. They've been killing them by slitting their throat, cutting their head off. Just food for thought there. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be a hair on your head perish. In your patience possesses ye your souls. That is a key phrase there. In your patience possesses your soul. You got to have faith. That's exactly what they're talking about. You have to have faith in God. You have to have faith that you, just because your body is dying, doesn't mean that you are dying. Your soul is going to heaven. And I promise you, if the Lord Christ is going to let you perish for him, I feel in my heart of hearts that whenever that blade cuts your throat, you're not going to feel it. I feel that in my heart of hearts. I know for a fact you will not feel it. Because, one, we got an example of that with Stephen, okay? Stephen was beat with rocks, big rocks. I don't know if you've ever been hit with something, a baseball bat or anything. It hurts. Stephen's mind was not on the pain. Stephen's mind was on the Lord God. He didn't feel a thing. And I feel in my heart of hearts that if you are one of the ones that's going to perish by beheading, you will not feel it. Your mind's going to be somewhere else, and you're not going to feel that pain. So don't stress over the pain. That's why most people don't want to die. That and they're scared of where their eternal soul is going. And when you shall see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto you that are with child, and then them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away and captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations, perplexity, and seas and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking upon those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see, the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And then, not before, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That don't sound like a pre-tribulation rapture to me. All right, let's turn now to Revelation. And we're going to go to chapter 3. No. Let's see. I'll make sure I get you in the right place.
Chapter what?
This is going to be 2 or 3. I'm finding it in here right now. Looks like I didn't prepare anything. All this is going off the top of my head. Give me just 1 second here. I'm trying to find it. No, chapter 2. All right, and we're not going to read all of chapter 2. We're just going to read just a little bit of it. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou, you know what? I don't want to start there. I want to go somewhere else first. Sorry about that. I'm sorry, people. Like I said, I wasn't exactly prepared. Let's see here. Chapter 6. Here we go. Go to chapter 6 of Revelation. I do apologize, people. And I saw when the land opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow and a crown, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth to conquer and to conquer. That white horse, a lot of people think because it is a white horse that they're talking about Christ. But as we know from the previous scriptures, the devil can take this, presents himself as an angel of light. And the reason we know that is because it says it gave him a bow. Okay? Don't mention anything about quivers. It just says a bow. So we don't have the arrows. We don't have the thing to actually do the killing with it. And he was given a crown. The crown means he was given authority. Okay? A lot of people also think that the first four seals, or actually all the seals, actually, is God's wrath, and is God doing this. We know from Job that God gives authority to the devil or to Satan to do certain things. And that's what's going on in the seals. It's the devil's wrath, so to speak. It's not God's wrath that we're talking about in any part of the seals. It's all Satan's handiwork, okay? So, and it says he went forth to conquer, went forth conquering and to conquer. A lot of people think that what they're talking about there is wars and things of that nature, strife, and people fighting amongst yourselves. That is true. It's actually very true. We see that going on right now in our world. We see that in the daily news every day. You know, getting back to the race wars that's going on between people, what's going on. And that's, like I say, that's just not going on in the U.S. It's going on all over the world. It's not just something localized. You don't hear about it because most people don't actually... They get their news from what they tell you at 6 o'clock, which is all scripted. You can go from one news station in Kentucky and listen to the exact same news thing in California, and I'm talking about the local news, and they're using the exact same words. So it's all scripted. They tell you what you want to know. You could fill a newspaper with all the things they're not telling you. So at any rate, another thing that, because we're talking about the word, another thing that you need to take into perspective, the conquering and to conquer is the conquering of Christians or believers and conquering of the word of the Almighty God, because they are literally making this book hate speech. They're trying to conquer you strictly by the book, by taking it away from you, making you, and the devil's doing it as well right here at the pulpit by putting false preachers up there, false prophets that are all over the TV and all over the internet and all over churches, these big massive churches all over the place. They're just filling people's head full of crap that's not the word of God. And I'm not going to lie to you one bit. I didn't go to church for many years for that very reason, because I would read the word and I would go to church and they were telling me something totally different. And in my mind, I'm sitting here reading it. I can see it as it's black and white. And they were telling me something totally different. So I just dropped out altogether and went many, many years without ever stepping foot in the church. And I was driving by this place one, matter of fact, it was on Easter Sunday, Sunday night, as a matter of fact. And I walked in, I seen the lights on, I walked in, talked to the pastor, and I've been here ever since, because he actually is teaching you the word of God. And that's truly, truly important. All right. So we know based off of this that you're going to have false teachers and false prophets, and they're going to get you from one way or the other, by hook or crook, okay? So when we take Matthew and Luke, combine it with that, then we go to chapter 3, where I was at a minute ago, or chapter 2, just a minute ago. You add all this stuff up, you start to see a bigger picture of what we were talking about. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them to be liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent. I personally, and this is just my personal belief, I'm not going to get into anybody's eschatological views, but my personal belief is these churches, the seven churches, if you read the seven churches, combine them with the seven seals, you get a big picture of what's going to happen in Revelations. A lot of people tell you different, and that's fine. But you just seen the very first thing that it said, that Christ out of his own mouth said in both Matthew and Mark, or Luke, said was, be ye not deceived. Don't be deceived. And then it goes on to tell you who are the people that were deceiving you. You've seen in the first seal where you got the rider on the white horse, that automatically tells you it's a deception, okay? Then you read what's in the first, talking about in the first church, it's talking about deception, okay? I think that if you read the seven churches and combine them with the seven seals, that gives you a roadmap to the end times. It tells you exactly what to do, what not to do, and how to do it. Because right now it's telling you, it just told you what you're doing good. What we're doing right now, we're calling out these false preachers, calling out all these false prophets. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou have left thy first love. In other words, the churches have backed off. They're teaching a watered-down gospel is what they're doing out there these days. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. In other words, at one point, these churches were really good. They were really faithful churches. But now they've backed up, backslidden, teaching watered-down gospels. Or else I will come unto thee quickly. Okay? And will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In other words, you got to get yourself straight. You got to change your way they've been teaching. The pastor has said many, many times up here, I heard him as a matter of fact last Sunday, talking about that very thing. We have to repent. We have to get back to teaching the gospel. He said that he is starting to see where some of these churches are actually starting to go back to the gospel. That's a great thing. It is. It's absolutely marvelous. But there's too many more of them out there. But thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. But you got to do a little research to know who the Nicolaitans are. But in essence, they're the ones that teach. I don't want to call it a watered-down gospel because it wasn't a watered-down gospel. It's more of a bringing in a false spirit, okay? Like the Kundalini yoga and all that stuff, bringing in all that false stuff into the church, which you see all of. I mean, you see churches having yoga in it right now. Kundalini yoga is strictly evil. It's straight from the bowels of hell. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. So that in itself says it all. You have to endure. You have to go to the end. You have to understand that you're not going to be miraculously raptured and miss all the bad stuff, okay? If the apostles went through the bad stuff, if Christ your Lord and Savior went through the bad stuff, why in the world would you think you're better than Christ? You are going to go through the bad stuff. The Bible does say that you will not go through the wrath of God. And I want to talk about that one word right there real quick. When Paul was talking about you will not go through the wrath, I can't pronounce it because it's Greek. I'm not Greek, but it's only used once in the New Testament. And that word is not the same as the wrath that's in every other part of the Bible. It actually means condemnation. It doesn't mean fierce anger. It means condemnation. So you will not face the condemnation of God. You'll face it. You very well may go through some of the bad things with everybody else. Okay? In fact, we know we're going to go through the bad things with everybody else because you're going to be slain. If you're still alive at that point, you're going to be slain and you have your head chopped off. You're going to be pulled in front of courts and put in jail. And it tells you right there that God's going to put the words in your mouth as to what to say. Okay? You would not be, all this stuff wouldn't be in here if it wasn't important, if it wasn't directed at us. Okay? A lot of people say, well, this was written for the Jews. The Jews don't believe in this. They don't believe in the Holy Bible. All they got is the Torah. This ain't in the Torah. This is in the New Testament. I mean, you got to think, people. I mean, honestly, you got to. There's too many false things going on out there. You got to pick up your Bible and study and understand what the Bible is actually telling you. Getting back to John the Baptist, okay? Because that's where we started out at, and that's where I'm going to finish up at. John the Baptist, his mission was to make the road clear for Christ to come. Okay? That's our mission. Not just the pastor's mission. That's each and every Christian's mission, to go out there and bring more to the fold. That is our mission. And I just want to point out another little odd thing that most people, which is where I was actually going from the beginning. How did John the Baptist die? He died of beheading, which is exactly how it says that you're going to die. So when you start putting all the pieces together, you start getting a bigger picture of what's going on. I said once before, all this stuff, the Bible was written in what they call progressive revelation. In other words, in Genesis, matter of fact, we read it a few days ago, where it was talking about, you know, he's going to bruise your heel and, you know, you're going to stomp his head thing. That was the first prophecy in the Bible. It didn't really explain a lot. A lot of people didn't understand it. But as you get progressively more and more and more through the Bible, you understand that that's Satan Christ. And it doesn't actually get completed until the very end. It's written in the beginning, but it takes place in the end. Part of it took place 2,000 years ago. The bruising at the heel took place 2,000 years ago. But the crushing of the head, that's coming here in another 1,000 years. At minimum, another minimum 1,000 years anyway, because you got the millennial reign. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to say this again. Pick up your Bibles. Pray before you pick up your Bibles. Read every single word. Meditate on these words, understand what these words are, and every Bible, whenever you open it up, it always has these little remarks, either in a corner, or some of them have them down the center, some of them have them on the sides, some of them have it at the bottom. But after not every single verse, but for the most part, after every single thought pattern, it tells you where that same thing is somewhere else in the Bible. take the time to actually go to those other places, and they will send you somewhere else, and then they will send you somewhere else, and then you'll start getting a great big picture. Okay, you'll understand the whole process of what's going on. And that's just part of it. You gotta, it's, the book is not written for a non-believer, okay? It's written for a believer. It's written for you to understand what you need to understand to make it to the end times. And I actually shouldn't say it wasn't written for a non-believer, because a non-believer can pick this book up and start to believe. But it's hard, okay? He's not going to understand it. It's going to take a lot longer. Let's put it that way. If he don't have that knock on the door and just open and open his heart up to Christ, it's not going to happen. He has to, Christ has to help him, and you have to have the Holy Spirit to help him out to understand the word. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and call it a day. Everybody have a blessed day. And again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. God bless. And I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor.
Well, thank you, Brother Dennis. You know, we are living well into the last days of time. Things that the Lord has told you and I to watch for, we have seen them going on now for quite some time. Not just with this virus going around, but other things. And he told us that when we've seen them just start, he says, look, what? Your redemption draweth nigh, which Dennis was talking about a little earlier. But we need to really get right with God and quit playing church. And that's what's happening to a lot of people. They're playing church. You know, there is a pathway you and I must walk if we're going to make heaven our home. And that pathway is the pathway of righteousness. And you can't walk upon that pathway of righteousness with evil and sin in your life. That all has to be gone. That's what we leave behind when we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even though we come to that, we are just beginning our journey. Something Dennis brought out very strongly and more than one time, we all need to be concerned with, is God's word and staying with his word, not man's, not mine, but his word. That's why I tell everyone that comes here to this church or listens to me anywhere on the internet, I always give you where I'm going to be. I ask that you bring your Bible and follow with me till you know what I'm saying, whether it came from the Word of God or whether it didn't, and whether I brought it to you as it is written or if I changed it. Because a lot of that is going on today. They're taking God's word and taken away from it to make it say what they want it to say instead of what it says. And that's where study and meditation comes in. When you study God's word, you need to take that word, get someplace where it's quiet, meditate upon that word until the Holy Spirit will speak to you and he'll guide you in the right way and give you the right thoughts right knowledge and the right wisdom about it. But we all must walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people today, a lot of churches, don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They tell you it died when the apostles died. That's not so. It just began then, really. It began with the church age. God tells us what he put in the church, exactly. We're not seeing much of today, are we? Nowhere around. Because mankind will not stand strong in faith and in his knowledge of God and speak boldly and move and act boldly in order to proclaim the word of God. Because he's afraid of being like that, mocked. But you laugh at me all you want to. You mock at me all you want. All you're going to do is make me stronger. You're going to make me stand stronger and straighter. So just go ahead and laugh at him. Well, that little man don't know what he's talking about. He's against women preachers, and he's against this. He's against that. He don't know what he's talking about. Just make me stronger. That's exactly what they've done. Because I'm going to stand with Jesus. And I'm going to stand on his word because I want his word in my life so I can bring it forward as a living word. We're told that that word in the Bible is living word. It will bring life or it will bring death. And if that part is your choice, whether you choose to walk and bring life into your life or bring death into your life. Because the way you choose to walk is what will happen to you in your life. What mankind is not understanding is mankind himself is not going to die, to be non-existent. Yes, this body is going to leave. This body is going to go back to dust. The word tells us that. It tells us, from dust it came and dust it shall return. But this spirit is going to go and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged. And when that judgment is over, you're going to go on to where you're going to spend eternity. And once you get there, there ain't no way out. That's it.
What's up, James?
You know, we talk about being saved. We can walk in salvation. But we are not really saved until we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment and hear him say, good and well done, thy faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. Then you're saved. Does that mean I'm walking without being saved? No, I can walk in salvation. And as long as I stay walking on that pathway of salvation and righteousness, I'm walking being saved. But to say I am saved will be when Jesus says so. When I stand before him and he holds his judgment. There's going to be a lot of them standing there thinking they're saved that's going to find themselves on their way to hell. Just as lost as they can be because they are not walking on the pathway of righteousness. All right. Remember now to be with us this evening at 6, and I'll be back with you, God willing. Be back with you at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And we'll be back into the Word of God. So let us go to the Father now in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your Word this day, Father, we're thanking you for your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we give thanks and praise for each and everything, Father, you have given to us. For all the blessings, Father, for grace, for the ability and the knowledge and the wisdom that your Word gives to us each and every day, Father. Help us to continue to walk according to your will, your way, and not ours, nor the ways of this world or man's ways, but always looking to your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ to keep us on that pathway of salvation, Father. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in this world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, we thank you for that. And we ask also for the Holy Spirit to give and bring peace to Jerusalem and Israel. Because, Father, we know they are having very little. Help them to repent and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work with us to help us to remove from our government offices those that are standing against you, against your Word, against the church, and against the Lord Jesus Christ. And to replace them, Father, with those that believe in you, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believe in your Word, that will walk upright, Father, and help us to put this nation back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one, bring about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Tom's friend Dennis, and Dennis's family in Oklahoma. For Tom's wife, Amy, Amy's friend, Sue, and Sue's family in Texas. For Tom and Amy's young son, Jacob. Father, this young man, 13 years old, is sharing the Word of God among the young people there in Texas. Use him in a mighty and great way. Father, and keep him filled and guided by the Holy Spirit. For Terry Coates, Father, touch him with the healing hand of Jesus. Touch him in a mighty and great way, Father. And touch him so he knows that it is your touch that brought about that healing and not man. Now, Father, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina. For the brothers in Christ in Brandenburg. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. For the Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there. Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, for this young man, William, that has been ordained this past year into the ministry, I pray, Father, that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. And Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, you know what is needed there. We lift them up, put them in your hands, Father. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron, not only a lighthouse, Father, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find the light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And for my young pastor friend in Pakistan, Iran Islam, Father, keep him safe, keep him in health, and see to his needs. For another pastor, Father, there in Pakistan, Bharat Mishai, Father, he too, you're using him, Father, in great and mighty ways. We pray for him and pray for this to continue with his meetings, Father, keeping him safe, because we know, Father, that they are all walking in dangerous places to where if they are caught, it can mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, for my family, and for each and every family that will hear this message today, I ask the Holy Spirit to work within our families, Father, to guide those that are walking with evil in their lives. Help them to turn from that evil and find the light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for all the sick, the crippled, the blind, the hearing, Father, we pray for them, and we ask the Holy Spirit to touch each and every one of them with that healing power that comes from the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know it's already been given. Holy Spirit, teach us all how to reach out and to bring into ourselves those things that we need and to accept that has been given to us through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And God bless. Good evening until 6 p.m. God willing, we can be together again.